Hello and welcome again to the Coach Mark Smith Show. Gary Neese with you. And for the next half hour, we're going to talk St. Bonaventure basketball. Maybe not so much games today, but we're going to give you a little behind the scenes look at some of the things that happen that people don't realize and don't see during the season. And with us is Matt Pappano, Director of Basketball Operations. I think you have you got promoted over the summer. I don't have your full title, but Matt, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gary. I guess it's considered a promotion, yeah, but Assistant Athletic Director for Basketball Operations, but same duties, nothing's changed. Yeah. You know, I'm still here in my role, same office and everything.
All right.
But yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk about now. I mentioned this to somebody. You are the Mark Smith's been here 18 seasons. You've been here longer. You're the longest tenured member of the basketball team, and that's because we're going to count the 4 years you were a student manager with the program back in the early 2000s. So let's talk about first off how you decided to come to Bonaventure.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Someone had mentioned that to me the other day. Actually, one of the guys from the collective, and I had never really kind of stopped and thought about that. You know, it's been a long journey, a great journey. Had a lot of great years here. I don't even know what the number is now. I've lost track. To how it started, you know, I was a local kid from Buffalo, so I was always aware of St. Bonaventure and obviously the program, and used to, you know, spend nights watching the Bonnies games on Empire Sports Network and listen to you on the call on the radio as well. And honestly, I think I've said this before in some other stuff, but it came down to Bonaventure and Syracuse, which people probably don't want to hear. But the deciding factor, you know, I wanted to major in communications journalism, so two reputable schools in that field. And the funny kind of thing is the deciding factor is my parents said they'd get me a car if I went to Bonaventure because it was a little cheaper.
Okay.
So that kind of sealed the deal, honestly. And then, you know, chose Bonnies and never left. You know, I've been here since, if you include my freshman year, 2003. So that's, what is that, 22 years, I guess, which is kind of crazy to think. Spent more of my life here than I have, you know, back home. Seen a lot with the program, you know, ups and downs, and, you know, started pretty far down, obviously. And, you know, we've come a long way from there. And it's been cool to be a small part of that over the 2-decade-plus run.
All right, let's talk about now. How did you get the job as student manager? Is there an application process, or how did you get that? Because now you're one of the guys who approves student managers.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. You know, I don't know if there was an official formal process back then. I kind of, you know, Anthony Solomon got the job, you know, right before my freshman year, and I just wrote a note saying, like, you know, I'm coming to Bonaventure. I'm committed. I'd love to be involved in the program in some capacity. I played some basketball in high school in my early years, but certainly wasn't able to play going forward. Mm-hmm. I was more of a soccer guy. And then someone on the staff wrote back and said, you know, stop in the fall when you get here. So I stopped in the fall and met with, you know, the person in my position now, and he's like, you're hired. So I don't think there was too many people that wanted to be involved with the program then. So there was a couple, you know, managers in place then, but I think I was maybe one or two freshmen in that class manager wise. So it was nothing kind of, you know, super formal. I just kind of wrote a letter. They got back to me. I came, and I don't even know if it was an interview. They just kind of said, you're hired, you know, if you want to help. So
all right. Now, has that changed in the 20 some years since you got hired, or basically hired here?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I still get, you know, emails and calls and notes of people who want to be involved, but, you know, there's years we've posted stuff, and, you know, it's been the more success we've had, you know, there's been more interest in that role. And I think even the manager position in general has gotten more appreciated over the years. You know, Jay Billis from ESPN, I think he still does, but kind of would, you know, pump up the managers and on Twitter and Instagram with how important they are and how impactful their roles are. So it's not, I think when people think about managers, it's, you know, they're water boys, towel boys type of thing. And, you know, there's some of that stuff involved, but there's so much more to it. So it hasn't been as hard trying to find managers. You know, they've kind of come, they come to us, and there was still an interview process. We don't take everybody, obviously. You know, we try to take two or three per class. So it has gotten a little easier. You know, it's a lot of that's credit to, you know, one, the stigma attached to that position, and two, you know, the success of the program, you know.
Yeah. Now, obviously, it's a non-paying position. I think they do get some academic credit for this.
Yeah, it's a full-time job essentially. You know, during the season especially, but, you know, there's not necessarily, you know, monetary pay for that. You know, there's an opportunity for scholarship money, partial scholarship money as you progress through the program. And as you know, there's a lot of perks. You'll travel, you're going to some cool places, you know, warm weather places, out of the country even. You know, we've been a couple times. Lots of free food, lots of free gear, being in the locker room, being on the bench for games. And just, you know, a place like here too, especially, you know, it's a small place and it's very, basketball is important, you know, so you're kind of a known commodity a little bit, which, you know, it's got some good and bad, I guess, to that, but, people know who you are. But yeah, it's a very important role, and, we've got a good group.
Yeah. Now there have been some of the student managers who have taken advantage of this position, and they have gone on to their own coaching careers. I there's a couple of managers I know right off the bat that have used this and have done the job, and they've gotten the actually fairly decent jobs.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, we're proud of that. You know, that's kind of one of our sells, or one of the things we talk about when we do, you know, interview kids or bring kids in to talk to them about the managerial position. Like you said, there's a couple over at the top. You know, one's working in the NBA. We've got guys coaching, head coaching, you know, at Division II level. There's assistant coaches in the Division I level. You know, if you want to get into basketball or athletics in general, there's really no better place to be in terms of a manager. You're at practice every day. You're seeing how practices are run. You're welcome to be in the locker room. We got current managers now who come in the locker room just to learn, you know, and how to run a practice, how to run an organization. You know, the opportunities are really endless of what you can do with it. You know, you can see how a Division I program is run, how a department is run. You know, a department like this is small too, so you can kind of get your hands involved and see how stuff is organized. And, you know, we'll give you as much responsibility as you want. So we take great pride in that, you know, and it's a pretty good pipeline of guys who've gone on to have success in the business.
All right. Now, you graduated, you got your degree in communications from the Jan Dolley School, used it for 1 year. you were an assistant sports information director, and Mark Schmidt comes along and says, "Hey, I want you to be my DOB." How did that happen? Do you just walk in and say, "He's mine," or?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, I had my 4 years as a manager. Mark got hired the spring of my senior year. And, you know, I got to know him a little bit that spring, and I ran his camps that first summer.
Okay.
But he kind of had his staff in place or put his staff together. So I wasn't, and I honestly didn't think I wanted, I thought I was done with basketball. And I thought I was going to, you know, kind of go the communications route. You know, one of my best friends, Pat Pearson, was the SID here at the time. He hired me to be his assistant. So worked in the SID office here, and my primary sport was women's basketball. So got to know, you know, Coach Crowley, Jimmy Crowley really well, was with that staff. And one of my other best friends, Jesse Fleming, was on that staff. So got to work with him really closely. Had a great time that year. That's when the program was starting to kind of turn the corner. I think we you know, they won 16 or 17 games that year. It was with Dana Mitchell. You know, it was kind of like the baseline of the success that was coming. Had an awesome year. Thought I was going to be, you know, in that role, in that field for a while. And then, you know, Mark kind of called – I think I was going into the second year of that role, and Mark, late summer, early fall, was kind of like, you know, I think I'm going to have a position here. You know, can I steal you back? Can you come back? And it was really, you know, it was a no brainer. I got to know Mark a little bit from the camps, obviously. And, you know, he's a great guy, and it was an easy decision. And to be honest, it was a pay bump too at the time when I was making no money. So that helped as well. But, you know, took that offer, and I think I said earlier, here I am still, you know, 20 years later or whatever it is.
All right. Well, it was an easy decision, but the work is not. and what you do is, I don't know when you sleep. I mean, I get that a lot from doing, you know, my full-time job and then doing Bonner basketball. When do you sleep? Well, whenever you can.
Sure.
And so let's talk about some of the things. Now, scheduling. You're involved in the scheduling. You're involved in the travel. And that's when you first started, you were on my speed dial because at the time we're doing commercial, and whatever happened, you had to get a hold of me right away so I could make reservations. But talk about, I don't want to talk about a typical day because you don't have one. You're basically whack-a-mole. You're solving problems before another one comes up. And that just seems to be the job of a DOB.
Yeah. every day is different. You know, you could have a plan for what you want to do that day, but usually that gets hijacked with something else, which you kind of just get used to it. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but generally that's something comes up that you're not expecting to kind of tackle that day. So I kind of look at my role as like the lead administrator for the program. Like I don't want to coach. I'm not trying to meddle in that area. You know, I kind of look at it as, you know, I'm kind of responsible along with other people. It's not just me, but they're kind of responsible for, you know, everything except on the court coaching and off campus recruiting. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got our assistant coaches and Coach Schmidt, you know, tackling that. And that's what they're trained in and what their specialties are. I don't need to meddle and pretend I'm a coach. That's not me. I kind of just want to make sure I'm running every administrative facet of the program and behind the scenes type stuff as best I can. Scheduling is a big one. You know, game non-conference scheduling, it seems to be one that people are interested in more and more every year. It's an interesting task and one that I enjoy in a sick way, even though it's extremely hard. It's kind of like a puzzle. You're kind of putting this puzzle together, you know, throughout the year. And, you know, now with the transfer portal and NIL, it's getting even a little bit more difficult and pushed back in the calendar just because of the constant roster turnover now. Mm-hmm. But it's something, like I said earlier, it's something I enjoy in like a sadistic way. It's maddening at times, but it's something that once you get something cool or get something done, it's very, you know, refreshing and you feel good about it. It's travel's a big one, you know, getting the travel stuff together for the team. A lot of responsibility there with, you know, booking stuff and planning and event planning and putting everything together. And that's another one where, you know, you only can control what you can control. You can't control the weather, as you alluded to a little bit earlier. You know, luckily we've been blessed with the opportunity to charter almost everywhere now. But even then, you know, you can't control the weather with that. But that's been a game changer for us. You know, it's a lot easier going out of Bradford and kind of controlling that schedule a little bit more. We could talk about for hours all the administrative type stuff that goes on. And again, it's not just me. You know, there's administrative support. We talk about the managers and my background as a manager. There's a lot of help with that from the manager group, especially, you know, the head manager and the graduate assistant and the video coordinator. So there's a lot of stuff. Some stuff you don't enjoy doing, but you got to do it. Some stuff you do enjoy doing, like the scheduling thing for me. But there's countless things that could be done throughout the day and throughout the year.
Yeah, one of the things that you have to do with scheduling is obviously this is not, it used to be like you could do this over the summer.
Yeah.
Now it's 12 months out of the year. Yes. You're constantly trying to put a schedule together. I'm sure you probably are at least halfway through next year's schedule already, non-conference schedule.
Yeah, you know, once we finish that upcoming year, you know, we kind of go right into the next one. And even having said that, you know, we're generally, hopefully, you know, booking multi-team events out years in advance. Mm-hmm. That kind of has changed now with the portal and everything being pushed back. And, you know, even with the MTE landscape has changed a little bit with the, you know, the NIL Players Festival with, you know, teams wanting to get NIL opportunities through those. So that has even changed a little bit in the three-game MTs of the past, like the Charleston one, which, you know, was one of the best memories I have and a lot of Bison fans have had, you included.
Yeah.
Even those three-game events probably are going to not exist anymore, unfortunately. It'll be more of the two-game type events. But yeah, you know, we're, you know, chugging along with next year's schedule. You know, we kind of have a base philosophy every year. You know, you get the MTE, you got your four local rivals.
Yeah.
You got to get the seven home games with, you know, some guarantee games and home and homes. And then you know, the neutral site type games, one-off games have become very popular for us and in general in the landscape. So you're hoping to get one to two, three of those, depending on a given year. So, yeah, we've got some stuff locked in for next year, you know, got some stuff to take care of as well. You know, it gets pushed back a little bit now just to you kind of wait and see what you have, what's coming back, and then also what the opponent's going to have. So not a ton is getting done as early as it used to, unfortunately. So it kind of has crept into, you know, spring and even, you know, mid to late summer. It's a work in progress. I think we're close to announcing some things. We're close to being able to announce some things here soon.
Mm-hmm.
The general philosophy is there with what you kind of want to map it out with, but the philosophy, how aggressive you want to get kind of depends on how good you think you're going to be and how, what you got coming back and what you got coming in. So it's a lot of variables to consider.
Yeah. Now this is where the assistant coaches and Coach Schmidt come in play. He kind of knows who he's got. coming in, who's going to be leaving, who's coming in with the portal and stuff.
Yep.
But you're basically scouting. You're now you're looking at who you have so you can make that schedule.
Sure.
So that's
there's a lot of that. You know, relying on our staff to see, collaboratively what's coming in, asking them, what do you think about this team? What do you think about this guy that the X team is bringing in?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this team's got a lot of guys coming back? What are your thoughts on them? So, and then talking to other people in the business, from event promoters to, colleagues at other schools,
mm-hmm.
Scouts, just guys in the business, what do you think of this team, stylistically, player personnel wise? If a team runs zone, it might be someone we want to stay away from because it's just a unique, unique team to prepare for. If a team presses a ton, maybe we don't want to play them because it's such a unique style. We don't want to kind of deal with that maybe. There's a lot of scouting to it. Synergy is a great tool. It's got every game, so you can go on there and watch games. We subscribe to like a player database type deal that kind of ranks players. So we kind of know who of, once the movement's happening, what's this team going to look like? So it's, there's a lot of, just word of mouth, dealing with our, talking with our staff, talking with other colleagues in the business. There's a lot to it. It's not just like, this team's got a date opening. It matches with us. Let's just do it. There's a lot of thought that goes into to who and when and where and all that stuff.
Talking about behind the scenes stuff that people don't see, or if you're not familiar with the program, it's just something that enlightens people on what goes on in Division I college basketball. Now, at the games, your duties at the games are basically to remind the coach of a few things during the game. I know when I get to sit close to the bench, you're always telling him who's got how many fouls and things like that. You're kind of reminding him of situations.
Yeah, that's when people ask me, like, what do you do? And first of all, I kind of say to him, like, not a lot, really. It's not super important, I don't think. But yeah, it's just, reminding of situations, fouls, timeouts, excuse me. Play calls from the opposing team. If you hear or see those, let him know or the assistant with the scout and kind of write those down. And, if they come up later, so you can alert the players of what's coming potentially or if there's a press coming. Nothing groundbreaking, certainly from my vantage point, but, I guess important, don't want to call a timeout if you don't have any, or you want to get a guy out in foul trouble, but yeah, just situations, that kind of stuff. Nothing crazy, to be honest with you.
All right. And now you're also in charge of the board, the player now. And I want to, you've been doing this a long time now. How many boards has Coach Schmidt gone through? I've always wanted to ask that question.
And
the magic markers that go with them. I imagine there's about 100 of those that are still flying around Riley Center somewhere.
A lot of magic markers have disappeared over the years. He's definitely broke a couple in his day. He's certainly, I think, mellowed out over the years. I think more so, I don't think he'll mind if I say this, but he at times likes to smash the board. So he's gotten some bloody hands at times, so the boards are pretty sturdy, but he's definitely broke a couple, but I think his hand has gotten more damaged over the years. But we've really come a long way. Now we have two boards, one up top of the bench and one at the end of the bench where the managers have. So we've really, real groundbreaking stuff we've got going on here. Yeah. On the bench with that, but yeah, that has been one of my responsibilities over the year, the boards and even like the referee stuff. I like to kind of chat with the refs, back to game day or game stuff. I've gotten to know a lot of these guys just from being on the bench for so long. So just kind of talking to them and, asking them, telling them stuff I've seen or what they, what did you see on that call? Just to kind of, chat with them throughout the game and have a dialogue going. Cause, at times coaches, he's so involved with different areas just to be a guy on the bench to kind of be representative of the staff, I guess, with those guys, cause they got a hard job too, as the officials. And, I think talking to them can only help.
Now, the team gets the officials in advance. I think probably what do they get the season schedule in advance or is it just like a monthly schedule? Who's coming. And I know that they scout the officials too.
Yeah.
Because you have tendency, some officials will call some things different than others.
Yeah, you know, we get them, you know, not super far in advance. I think just from a, you know, you don't want to, you know, the, you don't want to get that stigma of, you know, the gambling stuff. So I think they don't give the, the officials too far out in advance. So we get them generally a day or two before the game. And we know most of them, but actually now it's a good point you make. There's a lot of newer officials who have been going through the league the last couple of years, I think just because, you know, a generation has either moved up or are retiring. So yeah, officials call it differently, and it's a really tough job. And you know, you kind of know how certain guys like to be conversed with and talked to throughout the game. And so yeah, it's, you know, just talking to them and, you know, kind of seeing what they see, and you can also give pointers or things that you see. And it's just a conversation. You know, I think some guys like talking more than others, and you kind of just get to know them throughout the years and throughout the season, and just kind of try to manage them as best you can. It's an extremely tough job. You know, this, I can't imagine just being all the time being talked to when you're yelled at, you know, which that's a lot of what's going on, but you know, just trying to treat them as human beings. And I think that can only help. And, you know, it's a tough job.
All right. Now some people do not realize that you also were very much involved in the academic progress of the players. The coaches, they take the squad and they split them up, and they're responsible for two or three different players. And obviously, you know, there is the student part of student athlete, and it's another job that the people don't associate with basketball.
Yeah, you know, they're here to go to school to get the guys, and you know, everyone's, you know, some people maybe at some places, you know, it's you're an athlete and school is secondary, but you know, we expect the guys to go to class and get the degree. You know, I know coach always talks about there's only been a couple guys who haven't gotten their degree in, you know, almost 20 years that he's been here. So that's important to Coach Schmidt. It's important, you know, to me as an alum, you know, I think that's a cool aspect too, to see guys come through the program, and, you know, I can try to, you know, add anything as a former alum or as an alum, as a former student here myself, to kind of pointers on, you know, professors or, you know, what classes to help, you know, guide them to, and even the communications program. We've had a lot of guys go through that program. But yeah, you know, we take academics important. They're expected to go to class. They have study hall. You know, each assistant has a couple guys, and I just kind of try to, my role is just like a general liaison with our academic department. There's a couple people in charge with, you know, athletics, academics. So just kind of support them and our student athletes in that role.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the mass communication department. I've had two or three of the players as internees at the radio station. So, again, they not only do they have to go to class, but if they've got internship requirements, they have to fill those out too. Now, when you do all this with the academics, do you get in touch with the professors? I know that as we're taping this, you're getting ready to go on the trip to New England. So, and classes are in session. So these, you know, after the game Thursday, Friday, I'm assuming there's going to be some study hall.
Yeah. There's going to be some study hall on the road. It's funny to say we're getting ready to go on the road. I'm actually proctoring a couple tests while we're on the road this week. So yeah, it's generally me, you know, sitting down with our academic advisor each semester and kind of mapping out the schedule. And then that person will communicate to the professors, you know, that the guys will be on the road. They're going to miss some classes. Is there anything that we can facilitate to help alleviate any missed class time or missed exam time? So, yeah, we've been known to have study halls on the road. We've been known to proctor exams on the road. You know, now with the technology, you know, guys can Zoom with professors, you know, or with tutors while we're gone. That, when I first started, that stuff kind of stuff didn't exist, you know,
right.
So, and you know, even email, that's that helps guys have computers and iPads and MacBooks, and, you know, they can still do stuff while they're gone. But that's, you know, building, that's another part of scheduling, you know, non-conference scheduling. We try to look at it where they're not missing a ton of class time. It doesn't always work out that way, but, you know, we try to formulate plans where, you know, missed class time is at a minimum. And charters is another big thing that helps that too. You know, we're coming back right after the games, so they're not missing that next class. And you remember, if we were flying commercial, we would have to wait till the next day to fly home. So they're missing another day of class. So that's been a big bonus, you know, from the academic side of things.
And getting home earlier, the 8 o'clock classes are now attended. So.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, there's times, coach tells the story all the time. We either used to have to bus home or fly commercially the next day. We'd sometimes bus back in the middle of the night, getting back at 3, 4, 5 in the morning and try and tell the guys to go to class at 8:30. You know, it's like, how realistic is that? So, you know, luckily we don't have to deal with that as much anymore.
All right. With the advent of the portal and the NIL, has it become more difficult academically to make sure these kids are getting their classwork done?
I mean, maybe a little bit, you know, we, our staff, I guess more our staff and, you know, in collaboration, like we recruit guys that, you know, that want to be here, you know, as a student athlete. So not really, I guess it's more of like the from the compliance eligibility type standpoint, you know, sometimes when guys are bouncing around schools, you know, they're losing credits, you know, when they go to one school to the other. So that part has been something that we've had to kind of get more well-versed in, you know, so that's been a big part of it, just making sure that they're staying on track eligibility-wise and progress towards degree. And we've got a great compliance department, you know, led by, you know, Sarah Wolcott and Ryan Klingon. We do a heck of a job with that kind of thing. So they kind of take care of the bulk of that thing, but the bulk of that area, but that's something that we got to consider. And sometimes there's guys we can't get involved with for that reason. So that's, you know, that department is huge, probably now more than ever with the portal guys, you know. So, you know, there's a couple handful of guys every year that we just can't take or get involved with because of, you know, compliance type stuff. So it's something we got to deal with.
All right. Well, we could probably talk for another 20 minutes and tell stories about our bus trips together, but we've run out of time. So, Matt, once again, thanks for stopping by today, and we can wish you continued success with the program.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it, and a pleasure to be here.